Ammo. There we go. Yeah, I could feel the Spirit moving in here, doing that during that service, or during the music just now. I can feel it, man. I was just being still over there, just trying to hear from Him. That's good stuff. Did y'all give the band one more round of applause? So if you were feeling something, man, just receive it. If some of you guys were feeling. Open your minds. Because I'm telling you, if you learn how to hear from God, He'll talk to you. Nobody talks more than God. Not even your best friends. I'm telling you. If there's one person that wants to talk to you and he's a person, it's God. It ain't your buddies. Your buddies, you can fail in life and your buddies might turn on you. The good thing about God is He won't turn on you. No matter how bad it is or how bad it was or how bad it's going to be, God won't turn on you. He's always there for you. So if God was talking to you just now, He's talking to me. I don't know about y'all. He's talking to me. If He's talking to you, receive it. And if you got to close your eyes, you know, right now while I'm doing tithes and offerings and try to hear from you, close your eyes and hear from Him. And try to hear what God's trying to tell you. Because I'm telling you, God wants to, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Well, thank you for being here. If you are new here, we are honored that you came today. We know you could have gone anywhere today, but you chose to come here. So whether you're with friends, you know, just trying to, you know, just maybe you're in town for the weekend or maybe you're looking for a church, we're just glad you're here either way. So if you're new here, our church would like to honor you. So could you raise your hand right quick if you're new? If you're any visitors? Yep. Maybe some? No? One. Okay. One. I saw one over there. You kind of gave that hesitant, you know, don't be ashamed now. You got to raise it up and wave it, you know, real big. So, but if you are new here and you got a little packet in the foyer, please fill that packet out. There's a little card inside that packet. Just fill it out and put it in offering buckets before you leave today. We'd just appreciate it. We'll call you one time and say thanks for coming. Tithes and offerings, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 24. I'm going to read the Amplified. It says, "There is one who generously scatters abroad and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched, and he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown." What Corey has always tried to establish here, and I try to establish it wherever I go, it's something that we should all be a part of. It's called a culture. Y'all have heard me probably talk about this a little bit in the past. Developing a culture of giving. When you walk into Cowboy Church, you know that within this culture right here, and we're a culture, we are a culture of people that are givers. When you hear of, I've always heard, you know, culture has always been talked about in the coaching realm. Every time you've had an 0-something football team, when a new coach comes in, they always try to change the what? The culture. Because all the culture has been is losing, losing, losing. And what they try to do is change a culture and train people's minds to believe that they can win. Because the people that lose all the time have always probably been told that they could never win, or they just never had the confidence to believe in their ability to win. So when something it needs to be changed, you have to change a culture. It says there is one who generously scatters abroad. You think about a farmer. If a farmer throws a bunch of seed in one spot, that's as much, that one spot is the only spot you're going to see the harvest. It's only going to be right there. But they don't do that, do they? They buy thousands of acres and they sow corn over thousands of acres, or cotton. I teach ag at the school, and we were doing a little ad marketing thing in class, and I held up a picture of, it was an ad by Hanes, and Michael Jordan was on there. And I said, "What does this have to do with ag?" And then, you know, some of them had responded and some got it right, some didn't. But what does Haynes have to do with ag? Somebody had to grow the cotton. Somebody had to grow the shirt you're wearing, the clothes you wear. Somebody had to sow seed before you were able to wear those clothes you're wearing right now. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? Thousands of acres are sown for food, for clothing, for, you go on and on about seed time and harvest. The thing about God is, a lot of people think man established that. Man did not establish that. God established it. We were standing, we went to San Saba yesterday. I don't know if y'all have ever been to the wedding tree. Any of y'all ever heard of the wedding tree? One of you? Two of you? Three, four? Okay, so some of you. So, we went to look at a trailer, and this guy lived like 200 yards. He is about a 9-iron from the wedding tree. And I kid you not, that wedding tree, if you did this, you still wouldn't make the turn to get around the tree, you know, if you were trying to hug the tree. It's that big. And I've always said this, that it is amazing to me how God established the seed and the harvest. That tree was an acorn at one time. It is amazing. That tree is hundreds, and they said maybe 1,000 years old, but people have had weddings under that tree, and, you know, it's huge. God established seed time and harvest. And the ones that generously scatter abroad will increase, the Bible says, all the more. So tithing is one thing. And we preach tithing here because it's we're trying to develop a culture of giving. Okay? Tithing is not the only thing. It's only one of the four when it comes to giving. You got tithes and offerings, alms and offerings and first fruits. There's at least four. Tithing is just one of them. So when it says scattering your seed abroad, tithing is one of those. But, you know, if you take it a step further, it's also giving to those who need help. It's sowing to other ministries. You know, you tithe at your church, but you can sow to other ministries that you believe in, whether it's feeding the poor in other countries or helping the Jewish nation. And I would urge you to consider that one. But sowing your seed abroad, when God sees you sowing abroad, He takes record of it. Record. He knows what you've sown. He knows what your heart is when you sow. And if you can't get the heart part right, it's really hard for God to bring it back to you. I mean, I know the giving part, you know, when you first start this giving stuff, and some of you that have gone to churches that never talked about money because they're afraid they were going to offend people, if you're one of those people, I know the tithing part is hard to get a hold of because it's $100 out of 1,000. It's 10 out of 100. If you can get a hold of that, I'm telling you, God will start changing your heart to where the tithe isn't the only thing that you participate in. It starts becoming more and more, and then you become a $1,000 giver, then you become a $10,000 giver, then you become a $100,000 giver, and when you get to the $1 million giving status, you've gotten somewhere. And it happens all the time. It's doable. You can get there if you believe it. None of the Bible works for you unless you believe it. The only parts that work for you are the parts that you believe. And then it says there's one that withholds, but it results only in wanton poverty. My friends, the money you got ain't your money. God just gave it to you. He gave you gifts to obtain it. The gifts that you possess came from God. And the gifts that you possess is what gets you the money. And when you figure that out, the giving part ain't so hard anymore. God will make sure you're blessed because you get it in your head that the culture of giving is where God... I mean, God loved us so much that He gave His Son for you. That's a big give. God wanted a family. He sowed His Son into the earth. And now He's reaping the family. He wanted people in heaven. They couldn't get there until the Son died. But He wanted them in heaven. He didn't want them dwelling in the belly of the earth. He wanted them in heaven. So develop the culture and the habit of giving. And it'll change your life, I promise you. Y'all come give a big round of applause. Come on up. All I need is to believe in Your name.
don't seek treasures that soon will be gone. But you died for me once, and I know this is true. So with all of my life, I'm living for you.
Last time I did this, I forgot to turn the microphone on. I remember as a child, heard my daddy say, "Son, be glad that you were born in the good old USA." I still get a funny feeling when our flag's raised high, and a song about this land bring a teardrop to my eye. America, the beautiful place we all love, without her, I don't know what I'd do. So I thank God above for the red, white, and blue. Do you ever stop, take the time to look around at how much that we've been given and how little we put out? This country's built on words like "In God We Trust," looking at our future to survive, Lord knows we must. 'Cause God gave America to folks like me and you, for all he's done, the least that we could do is keep God above red, white, and blue. Yeah, come on, guys. Yeah, let's keep God up there. America, you know there's one thing we can't do without. It's the greatest gift we're given, and that's without a doubt. You see, God gave his only son, died for me and you, and he paid the price for our freedom with his red, white, and blue. Red blood flowed from Jesus' side, washed away our sins, and left us snowy white. Now we've got a new home that waits for me and you. Heaven's there, it's just beyond the blue. Thank you, Jesus, for your red, white, and blue. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things you do. And red, white, and blue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was spectacular. That's good. Oh, I didn't even know that song existed. Very, very good. That was spectacular. Good job. Drop the mic and head off the stage, would you? Oh, man. If there's one thing we need right now, it's God. Woo, boy. It is something else out there. Man. Hallelujah. Is the youth going today? Yep. Okay, so kids and youth, you're dismissed. Big round of applause. Y'all clap for the youth and kids. We'll see you later. And we will anoint all the teachers. Just throw holy water on whatever they need. They need it, huh? Spray them down, yeah. Get the spray bottles. Title of this message is Grace and Peace. I want to show you today in a majority of the New Testament how God talks about grace and peace in the letters that Paul wrote. A couple weeks ago when I wasn't here, I'd studied for this message and I'd been thinking about grace and peace for a while, and I'd read John 20, which I'll get to here later. Grace and peace is it's been on my mind. If you read, as we go through these books, you'll see how important grace and peace is in your lives right now. It's all I was thinking about when I was, you know, during music, was those things over there. Maybe some of y'all need it right now. And a couple of weeks ago when I was, you know, I was at home and I was watching, I'd studied for this message, and then the next day on Sunday, you know, there's, you know, TBN, there's, you know, Kenneth Copeland's church. They preached my tithes and offerings message on one channel, and I turned it over to the other channel, and they were talking about John chapter 20. I was like, okay, well, I'll just stick with that then. So I was on the right path, you know, and I was like, these people are preaching my message. But they just so happened, I just so happened to be watching the channel where they were talking about Proverbs 11, and then they were in John chapter 20 in the message. I was like, this is good stuff. Thanks for confirmation. God does stuff like that. Hear this confirm words through you. And if you ever get what they call God winks, I don't know if you've ever heard of those type of things, but I don't even know if that's scriptural, God wink. You know, maybe it's in the Bible somewhere, but it's like God winking at you saying, you're on the right path. Or he's saying, hey, I told you so. So grace and peace is something that I studied, and I'm going to preach it, by golly. Romans chapter 1. Now I'm going to take you through every book in sequence. There's 20 something books in the New Testament. I think there's 20 something, maybe 30, I don't know. I was trying to count them a while ago. Is there 20? 27? So I'm going to focus on Romans through Revelation. Okay? Just those. We'll focus on those. Doesn't mean grace and peace isn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, we know it's in John, and I'll get to that later. But I'm going to show you in the intro to all of these letters, there is grace and peace. Every one of them. Except for four or five. Okay? But a majority of the books are talking about grace and peace. Romans chapter 1, 7 through 11. Here we go. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That is a good thing to have. There are people out there saying, man, that cowboy church in Liberty Hill, they got it going on. You know? Verse 9, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. Now I'm going to talk about everything that comes after the verse where it talks about grace and peace, because it leads into something that pertains to peace. Faith is spoken of throughout. Okay? Peace brings prosperous journeys. Okay? Prosperous journeys, you know, in those times they didn't have the phones to say, hey, I'll see you next weekend. He had to send letters, and he was saying, you know, I hope that I can get to you And he might just show up out of the blue. He'd be walking through Jerusalem and also, hey, oh, there's Paul. You know, or hey, there's John. Peace allows for prosperous journeys. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Every day that you roll out of bed, you're on a journey. And if you don't believe that, then you ain't doing it right. Because I'm here to tell you that every day you wake up, you're on the journey. You're on the journey to peace, prosperity, grace, holiness. All of that should be working within you. And peace creates this longing to make others better and to create peace in others. When you wake up every day, you should have this, you should be on a journey to create peace in others. Because the Bible said, as we just read, peace establishes. It establishes you. So when you wake up every day, your journey should be, when your feet hit the floor, should be to bring peace to your workplace. Should be to bring peace into every environment. You know how many environments you walk into every day? The convenience store, Starbucks, lunchtime, if you stop to buy dinner to bring it home, at your job, in your boss's office, in the workplace around all the other workers. When you walk into the door, the journey that you're on should be to bring peace to others. You should have a longing for that. Because let me tell you, there's some gossip that goes on out there. And we've all been a part of it. We've all participated in it. We've all been around it. And a lot of times the best thing you can do is, you know, well, let's just pray for them. You know, we'll pray for them, believe for them, to, you know, be better. If there's something going on in their lives, let's just pray for them. I'm telling you, when you throw God and Jesus into the conversation, the gossiping stops pretty quick. Because once they know that you're an established Jesus person, the conversation changes. And how many of you know we need to change some conversations? Because gossip leads to other things. Gossip leads to backbiting. It leads to confusion. It creates disunity. It creates separation, division. And we've all been there. We've all seen it. We've all participated in it. Peace brings prosperous journeys. It also establishes you as a Jesus person. It creates a longing. Paul said, I cannot wait to see you guys. He said, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. There ain't nothing like being established. Nothing. Because when you're established, people know where you stand. I had a conversation with a guy the other day. He was talking about offense and how, you know, some people always, you know, mess with him and blah, blah, blah. Well, people mess with me too. I just handle it different. Because if you're the type that gets offended, what happens when they see weakness? I was reading this in a devotional the other day. What happens when an enemy sees weakness? It pounces. That's what offense is. I can't believe they said that about me. I can't believe they're talking about me. Or you just, you know, sometimes you don't normally say that. Sometimes it's just an offense within yourself. You feel it within you. You're upset about people making fun of you. I've always told, but I told my kids, if people make fun of you, you better laugh with them, because if you ever show offense or weakness, they're coming back. They will come back for you. Even worse. And you know what they do then? They bring their buddies with them. They ain't nothing like that. See, the devil, he ain't stupid. A lot of people think the devil's stupid. He ain't stupid. He knows how to pounce on people and attack. Now, he is a fool. We know that, you know, anybody that thinks they're greater than the thing that created them is a fool. But he knows when it's time to pounce. I mean, is the lion going to chase the fastest antelope? No, he's going to find the one that's the slowest. Isn't he? He's going to find a way. If there's one over here struggling a little bit, he's like, I don't need to chase those 3,000 antelope. There's one right over here for dinner. I don't need to chase the fast ones. I need to chase the ones that I can get to the fastest. Lions get tired of chasing too. Peace establishes. Peace creates this longing to make others experience peace. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians, just to the right, next book. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. It always starts in the beginning. First of these, every book we're going to be in except for John is going to be in chapter 1, verse something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Read that one again. That in everything you are enriched by Him. Enrichment, if you define it, is improves or enhances the quality of. My friends, you should be improving the quality of your life daily. The journey you're on is always about improving. God designed you that way. The reason you want stuff is because God put it in you to prosper. He created you to be better. He created us to take over this world. To control this world, to help it grow, to maintain the garden, to make it better, to have dominion. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you so that you come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. I'll get to that in a minute. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions. That there be no divisions. In other words, that there be peace amongst you. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto you, unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are no contentions among you. Peace enriches, so it improves or enhances the quality of. See, value makes you worth more. So when you go to apply for a job someday, they're going to say, well, how valuable are you? What can you do? You don't get a job until you add value to that company. Do you realize that? You can't just go apply for a job because you exist on the planet. You are not entitled to a job. Enrichment means that you are better than the other guy. Improvement means that you have improved and you are better than the other guy applying for the job. Peace creates no lack. Peace eliminates blame. People sin when they're not at peace. And peace also creates fellowship. How can two walk together if we're not at peace? Peace creates unity. Now I want to reflect back to what Corey was preaching last week. And he nailed it on the head. My friends, there is no time like the right now to start making your lives more holy. You cannot live like you used to live. It is easy to do that, to have one foot in heaven and one foot in hell, to have one foot in the church and have one foot in the world. It is very easy to do that. And I think I've been thinking that for years. And he confirmed it. He nailed it. Because we can no longer play church and we can no longer pretend to be Christians but also act like the world. You cannot do that. God has called you to improve. When He said that you go into the baptism, you come out a new man. Your old ways of doing things pass away with the old man. And when you come up out of the baptism, you are a new creature. No longer do you operate the old way. It just doesn't work that way. You cannot create peace in an environment if you're the one causing the problem. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it applies to all of us. Including me. Peace creates no lack. It eliminates blame. Isn't it nice to know when something goes wrong and all hell breaks loose at the job that you're not the one to blame? Isn't that good to know? I didn't put my hand in it. Somebody gets fired, or maybe two people get fired because of gossip. I have seen situations in schools where the whole coaching staff gets fired because there's disunity and offense with one person. One. Cost 20 people their jobs. One. Because of disunity or offense. Person was offended because they didn't, you know, they didn't treat him the same. He was offended. He was offended because they didn't talk to him the same. He thought they talked down to him. I'm like, if they're talking down to me, I'm doing something wrong. I need to fix myself. If there's something wrong with you and they're always talking down to you, then put yourself above them and start acting better than they do, and then they can't talk down to you anymore. Amen. When people talk to me, they know who I am. I have established myself in every environment to be a person of God, to be a soldier for Jesus and in His army. I work for Him. And they know that. Not only in the workplace, but in other environments. When I walk in any environment, I try to put a smile on my face, even if I don't feel like it. And that's what you got to do. You have to be willing to change. You cannot live like you used to live. I don't care how many friends you lose. My friend, you're going to lose people. You're going to lose friends. It's going to happen. When you choose to do a life that's different than your old life, you're going to see new people. The people that are at the church are not going to look like the people at the club. They're going to be different. Now, you might see some of them there that are at the club that were also at church. You're not going to hell for it. But my friends, the time for playing church is over. It is time to make yourself walk in holiness. You have got to walk in holiness. You've got to learn what that is. You've got to learn what righteousness is. You've got to learn what grace is. You've got to learn what peace is. And you've got to learn to think deeper than the world. You've got to learn to think like God thinks and think about spiritual things. Not worldly things, not fleshly things. Spiritual things. Because it's way deep. I can't even put it into words how deep it is. It's deep. The love walk, all of it. Love, peace, grace, mercy, spirituality, talking in tongues, all that stuff. The tithing principles. All of that is way deeper than a man can put it into words. Okay, turn to 2 Corinthians. See, going to church today is easy. All you got to do is just turn to the right every time. Right? Just keep turning to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to go ahead of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So peace, comforts, and tribulation, so that we can comfort others. Isn't this peace thing really good? I mean, he talks about it every single book, except for just a few. And if peace is probably talked about in that book, in those books somewhere, where it doesn't have just the verse. Because in almost all of the books, it's grace be unto you and peace from God. So it has to mean something. It has to be important. Peace, comforts, and tribulation. What is the opposite of peace? Think about it. There's not really an opposite word. But if I was to think of the opposite of peace, the first word that comes to my mind is worry. Chaos, worry, tribulation. It all applies. When there's no peace, it's the opposite. When you have peace, then all those other things can't get their foot in the door. The lion might be pursuing, but you're too fast for him to catch you. Because I'm telling you, the devil's not going to give up on you. No matter how close you get, I don't care how many tongues you talk in the private place, or you walk around anointing people and laying hands on people and anointing people and arms grow back and people get healed from cancer, the devil is always pursuing you. He's not going to give up on you, especially if you're the one laying hands on people and people getting healed. He's going for you first. He's coming after you. Why? Because you're making a difference. The people that just go to church and just go to church to be going to church, he's not so much worried about you. Why? Because you ain't making a difference. He's going after the ones that are changing lives. That's why Corey's message was so important. Because if you can get everyone doing the same thing, think how powerful that is. Think about the strength and the anointing that comes on. My friends, the anointing happens and the Holy Spirit fills the room when everyone is in agreement. Not because they're all in the same room. The room don't matter. It's the agreement that matters. Galatians chapter 1. Turn to the right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now he is rebuking them and correcting them, saying how amazing it is that you once walked with God and now you're following some other gospel that somebody brought in. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. My friends, they're perverting it in churches every day. All across this nation. They're making homosexuality something that's just acceptable. Yeah, God loves those people too. But he is not okay with that behavior. And there are churches preaching that it's okay. Yeah, you're okay. You can act like that. That's fine. Yeah, you can do that. That's fine. God loves you. Well, the God loves you part is right. It's the behavior part that's wrong. And it's not just homosexuality. There's a lot of gossip. Gossip falls in the same category. God doesn't put sin in categories. They all apply. That's just one of them. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be cursed. That's a pretty bold statement from a Jesus person. Let that person be cursed. Peace delivers from evil. Peace gives you discernment. I've always said this. Be a skeptic of everything. Somebody walks up to you and says, hey, I know something that you could do in order to make money. Or I know something you could do to do this, this, and this. Or maybe we should try this. I would say be a skeptic about everything except the Word of God. Amen. If you're going to be a discerner of evil, because I'm telling you, the enemy's pursuing you and he will use other people to deceive you to take your money, to take your whatever. Be a skeptic about everything except for the Word. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Man, that was a long time ago. That we should be holy, holy, and without blame before him in love. Holy before him in love. That, just that one statement right there, you could preach all day on that one statement, on that one scripture. Holy in his presence in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches, again, of his grace. The riches of his grace. That's another one. That's a whole nother sermon. Grace is way deeper, way bigger. The love walk is way deeper, way bigger than I can put it into words. Peace creates holiness. And it is peace through redemption. Again, I'm going to bring it back to what Corey preached last week. You have to learn how to walk in holiness. If you don't know what that means, you better start reading the Word and figuring it out. Because you are supposed to walk in holiness. It is defined as a way of being. It is a path of righteousness that you follow. When people say that you can't walk in perfection, they are lying to you. Because the Bible says that you can walk in perfection. Perfected love. Remember the scripture says, perfected love cast out fear. So how can you not, if the Bible says you can walk in perfection, why would you believe somebody when they say you can't be perfect? There is a way to perfect your love walk. And when you can perfect the love walk, you're heading in the right direction towards holiness. Can't play church anymore. Better start reading the Word. And if you don't like reading the Word, you better start out reading books about the Word from authors that you trust. I like to read from the authors that believe in speaking in tongues. Now, that doesn't mean that all the other ones don't know what they're talking about, but I'm telling you, the ones that are anointed with the Holy Ghost will preach you the Word. And they will give you all of it. Whether you like it or not, whether it's a hard pill to swallow or not, they're going to feed you all of it. And that will, that will make you holy. Because I didn't like to read the Bible either. When I first started going to church, Cowboy Church, I read books about the Bible because I was like, man, this is too much. And then when I started listening to Corey talk about, hey, it ain't that hard. The Bible's not that hard to understand. But if you read it, you read it, you read it, you absorb yourself in it, you're always in it, it gets a lot easier. If you never read it, then yeah, it's going to be a little bit odd to you. All those King James verses. All those King James vernaculars. All those words, the these, thous, and thuses, all those big words. Yeah, it might be a little confusing, but the only way to get better at anything, and this is what God told me a lot, I didn't even know this was the Holy Ghost telling me this. God, because y'all know my story. I graduated college and could not read out loud to a group of kids when I started teaching. I couldn't read out loud. I'd stumble through the words. And you know what God told me? He said, if you would read more, you'd get better. Well, yeah, that sounds about right. And the more I read, the better I got. See, I grew up stupid. I was not very smart. I graduated college, but what does that mean? Does that mean anything? Does that mean you got smarter? No, it just means you got better at taking tests. I'm here to tell you. That's how it is now. They don't teach individuality anymore. They teach the collective. I can preach all day on that. I'm moving on. Here we go. Peace creates holiness. Turn to Philemon, or Philippians, to the right. Next book, Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to try to hurry through these. Philippians chapter 1 verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing that which you have begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the end. Amen. So that tells me that he's working in you. So that also tells me that he's always trying to improve you, which means you should always be trying to improve yourself. So if he's doing a good work in you and he's trying to perform it and finish it till the end, that means you need to start participating. It's kind of like if you were coaching the, you know, you got to think about it. If you were coaching a team and you gave them all the plays, but they didn't want to get on the field and perform them, well, that wouldn't do very good, would it? You get a delay of game four times, you got to turn the ball over, the other team gets the ball, they go score touchdowns, and you're still on the sideline. Because why? You didn't participate. Peace creates reassurance that God is working in you. He's working in you. There is something going on in here that he is doing right now. He's making your spiritual walk stronger and better. He's making you more confident. He's giving you more peace. He's making you more confident in your workplace. He's honing your gifts so that your gifts can do what the Bible says. Your gifts make room for you and will bring you before kings. Wow. Your gifts will make room for you and bring you before, in the presence of, people in high places. Peace makes obtaining knowledge easier. When you're at peace, let me tell you something about peace. Peace allows you to have a confidence that nobody else has. I'm telling you, if there's one thing you need in life, it's confidence. In your work, what happens when you walk into your workplace and you're not very confident? Your work struggles, you struggle in your job, and eventually you're the one they hand the pink slip to. If they don't need you anymore, they get to a point where they're like, hey, we got to get rid of some of these people. We can't afford to keep all these people. Guess who goes first? The person that didn't do very good at their job. And the reason they didn't do very good at their job is because they didn't have confidence to perform. Peace makes obtaining knowledge easier. So peace will allow you to have this knowing that you know. You ever heard of that? This knowing that you know. And it allows you, and I tell my kids this all the time, if there's one thing they should be good at, it's learning how to learn. Because if you don't know how to learn, you're never going to learn. And then reading is the one thing that they all push. Every school pushes it. They push it at our school. When there's free time, there's 2 minutes left in class, and you got nothing to do, you tell them, get out a book and read. You know why? Because reading is the number one thing. If there's one thing the devil wants to take away from people, now a lot of times the books they're reading aren't the greatest. I'll be the first to tell you that the libraries aren't full of Bibles. Okay? But some of the stuff they read, at least they're learning through reading. Why? I mean, if reading wasn't important, why would God have given us this thing? If he said, you know what, I don't need to write a Bible, I'll just talk to him whenever I need to. Well, apparently reading is important. So if you don't like reading, you better start learning to like it. Okay? That was one of the hardest parts for me, because I could not read when I was growing up. I cheated all the way through high school. I did everything I could to not have to do it. All I cared about was lunch and football. Lunch and basketball. Lunch and rodeo. That's all I cared about. That's it. You have to learn how to read even for math. Them darn word problems. Kid asked me the other day, you know how to do math? I say, what grade are you in? Seventh. No, I don't know how to do it. Nope. If he'd have said third, fourth, maybe fifth grade, I could help him figure out how many balls were in the picture. You know, or squares or cubes or, you know. But you want me to figure out word problems? Like, I'll have to Google it. I Google all their answers. Math wizard over here makes it sound like, oh, it's just so easy. Yeah. No. That's a gift he has that I didn't get. I don't have it, Mr. Math Person. Turn to the right. Colossians. And by the way, in Philippians, peace eliminates offense. If you're one of those that gets offended, quit getting offended. Peace also establishes the fruits of righteousness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. What does it say? To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Oh man, it just keeps on coming, doesn't it? We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Because that's what peace does, you know. When you love people, you pray for them, right? Since we heard of your faith, how far am I going? Okay. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Peace gives you hope. You know that hope that gives you those cold chills that run down your spine and make you... You ever listen to a really good worship song and all of a sudden these cold chills just... I don't even know if I call them cold chills. I just call them the goosebumps that get on you. Like you're like, oh man, I just know the Holy Ghost is in here right now. I know that He loves this song. Because when you start feeling things like that, He likes the song. And He's glad you're listening to it. And He's working on you and molding you and perfecting you and making you feel better and healing your sicknesses, healing your marriages, healing your ignorance at your job place or whatever you're struggling with. When the goosebumps come on, something's working. Turn to the right, 1 Thessalonians. Oh, we just keep getting to the right. Just keep on finding out all this good stuff. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Skip down. For our gospel came unto you, not unto you in the word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Let me tell you what hope. Hope gives you power in the Holy Ghost. There's a light, I'll get to this more in John 20, but there is something that happens. And it's a spiritual. The only way to define it is through the spiritual. Now you'll see it manifest in the physical. But there's something spiritual that happens that's amazing on the inside of you when you receive the Holy Ghost. And you start believing in that tongue-talking stuff. Because there is something that happens in the prayer language that doesn't happen in English. Or Spanish. Or whatever, Portuguese, whatever other language there is. It's the one language that the enemy doesn't understand. The enemy, the devil, can speak all of those other languages but this one. And I heard a minister say this one time. He said, well, you know, if God's going to give man in every country on this planet, I mean, I don't even know how many languages there are. Like 200, there's like 200 or 300 languages. And he said, you know, it's only fitting that God has His own language if everybody else is going to have theirs. It's only fitting that He has His own. You know, what's amazing is that you can actually learn it and discern it. You can speak it and discern what He's saying through you. It's a learnable language. But you got to really learn how to hear from the Holy Ghost. Hope gives you power in the Holy Ghost. Peace also establishes proof of who you are. Have you ever just wanted to change your name? Have you ever been in a situation where you really messed up and you wish you could change your name? You're like, I hope they forget who I am. I hope they forget everything I just did. I hope they forget my name. I ain't never coming back here. You ever been there? Peace establishes proof of who you are. When people look at you, they know who you are. When you say Michael Jordan, you think basketball. When you say golf, who's the first person you think of? Tiger Woods. Okay, all right. We'll go with Arnold Palmer. I know, Strange. He's not the first one I think of. When I think of awesomeness, Arnold Palmer's great, but I really think of Tiger Woods. That's just me. When you think basketball, now if you're talking today's generation, you hold up a picture of Michael Jordan, they're like, I don't know who that is. Well, let me tell you who Kobe Bryant and LeBron James looked up to. Michael Jordan. He's the one that put Nike on the map. Hope gives you power through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. Don't worry, Arnold Palmer's still good. We're with you. Tiger Woods looked up to Arnold Palmer. Okay, I'm Globetrotters. Now you're talking a totally different language. He preached at a church once that I grew up in when I was a kid. Meadowlark Lemon. Peace also establishes proof of who you are. When people say your name, what do they think of? Oh, yeah, I know him. When somebody goes, yeah, I know him, that ain't good. When they go, oh, yeah, I know him, yeah. Somebody tries to badmouth them, they're like, you know, usually people won't participate in a conversation about you, especially if you have established proof of who you really are. But if you haven't proven to them that you're any different than they are, they'll participate in that gossip. But peace establishes. We've already established that it establishes, right? But it establishes proof of who you actually are. When people say your name, what's the first thing they think of? Well, you hope it's good, right? You are who you are because of the name that you've made. Nobody makes your name but you. You are the only person responsible for your name. And if they know you as a Jesus person, in the last few weeks, I've had some opportunities to minister to people that I know ain't saved. And I've had little opportunities. And I don't think they came to me just because they knew I was a minister. I think they came to me because they saw something in me that might be able to fix what was broken in their life. Amen. And that's what I want. Not tooting my own horn, because there ain't no horn to toot, right? Because I give all the glory to God. Now, if I did it in my own name, that'd be a different story. Then people won't come to you. Why? Because God doesn't show favor on you that allows people. Because when I'm telling you, when you walk in righteousness and holiness, you have a favor that the world don't have. You have something. You have a favor that glows. And people want to come to you and they don't know why. Okay, let me give you a bunch of scriptures that I don't have time to go to. I mean, it's the rest of the Bible, okay? The rest all the way through Revelation. Okay? So second, you can write these down if you want, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2, Titus chapter 1 verse 4, Philemon chapter 1 verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, Jude chapter 1 verse 2, Revelation 1 verse 4. All speak of grace and peace. The only ones I haven't found, and that doesn't mean they're not in there or don't speak of it or talk about it or allude to it, is 1 and 3 John, 1 Peter, Hebrews, and James. That's the only ones I couldn't find it in. All of the rest of them, I have found it. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and Jude chapter 1, verse 2 talks about peace being multiplied. So now it's not only talking about grace and peace. Now he is talking about, in 2 Peter and Jude, he is talking about multiplying it. You've heard me say this before. I got this from Mike Murdoch. There's four people in your life. The people that add to you, people that subtract from you, the people that divide you, and the people that will multiply you. Those four, Mr. Math Wizard. Those four people. Those are the four types of people in your life. People that will, I want the people that will add to me and multiply. I don't want people to divide me and subtract from me. There's two types of people in life. Protégés and parasites. I learned that from Mike Murdoch too. Protégés and parasites. The parasite wants what's in your hand. The protégé wants what's in your mind. Isn't that good? Oh, that's so good. You got one of those people that's always coming, asking you for money. They don't want to hear what you have to say. All they care about is what's in your pocket. That's it. That's what parasites are. They want something that doesn't belong to them. That's what ticks and fleas are. They get on a host and they just suck the life out of it. Why? They want something that doesn't belong to them. 2 Peter 1 and 2, Jude chapter 1 verse 2 is talking about multiplication. He's not only saying now grace and peace towards you, he's saying I pray that it is multiplied towards you. So now this peace that you have should be growing and growing, and this God that you're listening to, you should start to hear and understand His voice even better and better. Turn to John 20. So we're going to turn backwards. I took you all the way through the Bible. Turn back to John 20. Now these scriptures have fascinated me, and I've tried to learn, I've tried to listen. Every time I hear somebody talk about John 20, I heard it last weekend, I've heard Perry Stone talk about it, I've heard all these ministers talk about it, and somehow, I don't know if this is true, I'm not saying this is 100%, but somehow I see the return of Jesus and the rapture and the return when Jesus returns after the 7 years somewhere in John chapter 20. I don't know how to explain it to you, but somehow I see the rapture and also Jesus returning. I don't have time to explain that. I'll kind of allude to it when I go through it. John chapter 20 verse 17. Now watch this. Jesus said unto her, this is Mary in the garden. He says, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father. Now, I was listening to Barry Stone preach on that one the other day, and I think there's a Jewish custom that says, once I'm clean, you can't touch me. I'm a high priest. Because that's what Jesus was, right? He was the high priest. And he had not yet went into the holiest of holies. The high priest had to be clean. Totally clean. He says, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So he's telling her what? He's telling Mary to go evangelize. He was saying, you go and tell. Isn't that what evangelists do? Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So this is Mary evangelizing. We evangelize because of peace. Now, why did she go to them and tell them about him? Because she had peace that he had rose from the dead. She thought he was the gardener at first. Remember the story? She thought he was the gardener. Oh, gardener, tell me where you put him. You know, where did you put my Savior? And then eventually he says, Mary. And she turns and sees him. So now there's this, she went from worry, she went from crying her eyes out, to all of a sudden, oh my God, it is true. You did arise. You are alive. This tomb is empty for a reason. We evangelize because we have peace that he arose. Oh, that's so good. My God, we wouldn't even be here. Guys, we wouldn't even be having church today if he wouldn't have come out of the tomb. Now watch verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. Now, take note of that. They are hiding because of fear. Came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. He walked through the wall. And what did he say? Peace be unto you. That's the first word. The first word he says when he shows himself to them is peace. You know why? Because they were living in fear. Fear could be the opposite of peace. Worry could be... Why were they hiding? Because they were worried and afraid. Jesus had always broke the mold on religion and told them, hey, what you're saying and what you're believing, God ain't doing that no more. It don't exist. They weren't ministering. They weren't out telling people about Jesus. They were hiding. Now watch what he says. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So immediately, the same thing that happened to Mary. They went from worrying and crying and hiding in fear all of a sudden to, wow, peace. When you had, it's something that you can only explain. Everybody's peace probably feels a little bit different. But to them, it says when they saw the Lord, they were glad. Then said Jesus to them again, what did he say? Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Watch this. And when he had said this, a lot of people think Acts chapter 2 was the first time for the Holy Ghost. It wasn't. After he said this, he breathed on them and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When they receive, imagine Jesus breathing on them. I mean, first thing we think, if somebody breathes on us, we're like, whoa, your breath smells. You need a Tic Tac, Altoid. He breathes on them and he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 is where the Holy Ghost fully manifested. But it happened behind closed doors. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When Jesus went to heaven, then he came back down, walked through the wall, and said, peace. Now, receive the Holy Ghost. That's a lot of disciples to breathe on. It's like, you ever try to take a deep breath and breathe all the way out like they tell you if you want to drop your blood pressure? Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, you can, and they say breathe every bit out. That's pretty hard to do. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Scared and not ministering, okay? But they received the Holy Ghost. Now you'll notice that Thomas wasn't there. You know why Thomas wasn't there? Because he was just out and about. You know, he wasn't afraid. You know why? Because he probably wasn't still preaching Jesus. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, you're that Jesus person. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, but he died, you know. He's in it too. That phase of my life's over. He's out walking amongst them. He's the only one. Now, I don't know where the rapture and all the coming back of Jesus all fits into here, but he came to the believers first. He came to the doubters second. Doubting Thomas wasn't afraid. He wasn't behind closed doors. He was probably out saying, you know, yeah, that Jesus stuff, that was just a phase in my life, whatever. And then watch what it says. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, now why would they be saying unto him? They had to go out and tell him. And you know why they had the confidence to go out and tell him? The Holy Ghost. That's why when I tell you that there's something, it happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. You develop this confidence and not hang out behind closed doors, because now they're out there telling him. But he said unto them, watch what he said, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This dude didn't believe. He didn't. Like, he saw Jesus, he hung out with him for 3 years or whatever, saw him die, and he's like, oh, well, it's over. We're done. He wasn't afraid. But now, the disciples are out saying, hey, Thomas, you've got to see this. You've got to believe this. Watch it. Now watch what it says. This is what captures my attention when it comes to talking about the return of Christ for the unbeliever. Where am I at here? 26. Now watch this. We know that 8 is the number of new beginnings. Watch this. And after 8 days, they made sure that they told you how many days. It wasn't 10, it wasn't 2, it was 8. 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut just like he did before, and stood in the midst of them. And what did he say? Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy side, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but what? Believing. Thomas didn't believe, man. He struggled. So he returned first to talk to the believers. The second time, after 8 days. Now we know, if you know anything about scripture and prophecy, that talks about the 7 years, the 7,000 years, and so on and so forth. Jesus will come back to get us, but on the eighth day, because I know that after the rapture happens, the Holy Ghost is poured out. Okay? He is poured out. And there are believers receiving Christ, and there are miracles being performed because they are actually seeing Jesus. They're like Thomas. They're getting to see the miracles. They're getting to see the hands and the side and all that stuff. I don't know if that's what that's alluding to. That's kind of what I got, and I don't know prophetically if I could prove that or not. I don't study that type of stuff. But somehow I see the rapture and the return of Christ in that. He says, put your hand, look at my hand, look at my side. And then after, on verse 28, he said, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. There is a peace that is it's indescribable. If grace and peace is in the first of most of those letters, there's a good reason, and you need to get a hold of it. There is something about having peace that establishes you. The Holy Spirit established, and all that stuff within you becomes established because of peace. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are not saved today, today is your opportunity to receive Jesus. At this church, we give everyone an opportunity every single time we have a service to give somebody an opportunity to receive Christ. If you're one of those that's never received Him, and you don't have peace in your heart, today is your opportunity to receive Him. And it's very simple. It's not complicated. It's as simple as you pray this prayer after us. And we believe that if you pray this prayer and you believe it and you mean it, then you will go to heaven when you leave this earth, okay? There's two places that you will go, either heaven or hell. Okay, you're either going up or you're going down. You're on the elevator going one way or the other. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer after all of us. We're going to repeat it, and you just repeat it with us. And we believe that if you pray this prayer and mean what you say, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. When the rapture happens, you're going up. So everybody repeat this prayer after me. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, all I'm going to ask you to do is on the count of three, just raise your hand. You're only acknowledging to me that you received it, that you received Him. And by raising your hand, you're saying, yes, I prayed that prayer for the first time. I received Jesus for the very first time. That was me. On the count of three, if that was you, raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? There's one here. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? We'll give you a few seconds. Take this Bible. We got a Bible for you, so just take that Bible. Inside of that Bible is a little card. If you could fill it out, we'll call you one time and just see if you need anything. But this is, oh, this is a good time. Oh, it's so good. Oh, I wish I could preach forever on peace. My friends, if there's one thing you need, it's peace. All right, everybody look at me. I want to keep going, but I'm not going to, because I know all of y'all can smell that food. Talk. Yeah, if that's God, tell Him we're done. Okay? I'll give this to you. Thank you guys for coming. You got a mic. Thank you. Shut this down here. So it doesn't make noise. Maybe. Yeah. Yes, sorry. Thank you.
Y'all give Howdy another big round of applause. Man.
Thank you.
What a great message this morning. I guarantee you, the peace that he talks about, once you get in that peace, There's no other feeling like it. And you, when you get in that peace that Howdy's talking about, you want to work at it to stay in that peace. I'm telling y'all. Cause it's a good place. Man, awesome message, Howdy. Again, give him another hand. Man, that was good. My goodness. Real quick, I've got a cup. I know you can, as Howdy said, I know you can smell the food, but y'all gonna have to focus up here for just a minute. Announcements, Women's Conference, October the 16th. Go online and register or pay $30, includes breakfast and lunch. It's going to be at 9 a.m. on October the 16th. Also, for you that have kiddos, or even if you're a big kid, that we're going to have Hallelujah Night. We hadn't done that in a long time. We're not some of you get religious over this. You're celebrating ghosts and goblins. And no, we're not. Did you hear the name? It's called Hallelujah Night. And so, in other words, to give kids a safe place to come instead of being out knocking on doors and everything else, we're going to have Hallelujah Night here at the church. And it's for y'all to come and bring your kids, or if you're adults and you want to help, there's going to be games and have fun with the family. Heidi introduced this on Tuesday night, and I counted, and she said there's going to be candy 15 times. I don't know why she kept saying candy, but she was... So I think we're going to have candy at Hallelujah Night that night, too. So, y'all, and bring, did you, somebody said bring candy? Yes, bring candy. I like Rolos with the caramel and also, anyway, Milky Way, but, with salted caramel. Anyway, oh, and don't forget we're having fellowship dinner after church. After that, you can get water after church if you need to buy some water. We have water out there. Also, if you haven't come to Bible study yet, you need to come in. It's this Tuesday. It's 6:30. We fellowship a little bit, start at 7. And it's like Howdy was talking about earlier, the power of the Holy Ghost. And we're teaching right now. There's four of us that are teaching as a panel. And we started last Tuesday. We just did an introduction on Tuesday, so you wouldn't be behind. We've got some extra books if you'd like to get one and come join us this Tuesday. It's called Praying in Tongues. And it's understanding what that's involved in praying in tongues and having the Holy Spirit and realizing how much power that we have in praying in tongues. Your prayer language, it's yours. It's like Howdy was talking about. It's that language that God has given you to pray to Him. It's not somebody else's. So y'all come learn with us. And we got one more announcement real quick. Reuben, are you going to announce it real quick? Because everybody's smelling food.
God is good, amen. This thing on? God is good, amen. All right. Well, I just want to let you all know, along with my wife, my beautiful wife, Michelle, if you stand up. And where are the Kramers? The Kramers, we have Jimmy and Mariah. They're opening their house. We've been talking to y'all about a family social we've been pushing for the past few months. I understand, Howdy, when someone steals your message, you know, that you still go on with it. Because what he hit on today were points of the four types of people in your life. You know, we want those two that will multiply and to add to and to have a fellowship network to where you can call on for support and praise and what have you. And so if you're young at heart or if you got some youngins, you know, you're more than welcome to come next week. We have out little flyers. You're more than welcome to bring. Come join us. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of spreading the word of Jesus Christ, not just in church, because we all know that God doesn't just live here in church. God lives everywhere outside. God lives in you. So we're offering y'all the opportunity to help this fellowship grow, so that way we know there's always some place to go to. So if you have any questions, please feel free to see myself. My name is Reuben, my wife Michelle, or Jimmy and Mariah. I'd be more than happy to talk to y'all. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Reuben. Y'all give him a hand. Yeah, be sure and check that out. That's a way to get tied in, and because we all can't be at certain places at certain times. And so this is just another opportunity to tie in and get to know more of your church family, okay? So if you can't make Bible study, and sometimes it's another opportunity. Amen? Hey, y'all know that Howdy isn't on salary. He doesn't get paid to preach. But he is an anointed man of God. Man. And so if God puts it on your heart to give to Howdy, this bucket right here in front is today we're going to call it Howdy's Bucket. And so if you'd like to give to Howdy, if God puts it on your heart, then if you want to give cash, man, that's awesome. If you'd like to get a letter from Howdy, you can put it in an envelope, put your name, address on it. He will send you a thank you letter, and also for taxes. Also, if you'd like to write a check, it made out to Howdy Byers Ministry. And if you need help spelling a million, I'll help you spell that. But this is his bucket right here, so if God puts it on your heart, please bless Howdy. Man, what an awesome man of God. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray, and we're going to bless the food, and we're not yet, ma'am. Oh, yes. Man, sorry, folks. If you have kids, you have to go get your kids before you can get in line to eat. So those of us who don't have to go get kids, I'll beat you at the line over there. Hey, Father, we thank you this morning. Man, thank you for using Howdy. Thank you for anointed message this morning, Father God, for grace and peace. Father, that peace that we don't even understand, but we know we feel it, Father God. Man, and we strive every day to continue in that peace or to have that peace. Father God, we thank you for blessing us. Father, bless this food that we're about to receive. Bless it. Nourish our bodies. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We know that you don't leave us when we leave here, but that you're with us and you never forsake us, Father. We just praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. With the big round of applause, you're dismissed to the food line.